36. Once I was lost.
Yes, sir.
Jesus,
he's a servant. regions of everlasting song.
Yes, O ring,
Jesus abundantly supplies us with grace.
Brother,
leave your sorrows and come
all along.
Wise and children of God, may he say,
let us
lift our voices in
grateful loving.
Calling the roll, oh Lord, remember me. I won't mind, though I Thank you. But if we'll take your Bibles and we'll turn to the book of Mark, chapter 4. Book of Mark, chapter 4. I'll find it in a minute. But I would like to say we've enjoyed coming to church with y'all, and when I think about the church, I think about the people. Everybody's been so kind, and I just feel like the Lord's here. And you know what? I was thinking the other day, I believe that most everybody here has a personal devotion with the Lord Jesus, and that's hard to come by. You know, a church where everybody goes home and has a relationship with Jesus, and then they come back, and you kind of see that, you know. And I'd be shocked if there was a few here that don't go home and have a good relationship with the Lord. And Brother Redmond and his wife, they're just wonderful people. But I will say this, we've traveled a long road. I've been a Christian, been born again in the family of God for over 40 years now. And been serving the Lord. You know, it ain't been no bench. We didn't start on a bench. We come out of the spiritual wound, seeking God, trying to figure out what to do in this world. But it's been a long journey. But I will say we have been on the road. And my journey kept me isolated somewhat. So I didn't really see what was going on in the world. I was too busy. We was building churches, redoing, remodeling, stuff like that. And that's a joke God played on me, you know. I'm a mechanic, not a carpenter, and I couldn't get God to understand that. So, well, I tell you what. Anyhow, so it was a long journey, but I don't know. God, after all these years and all these buildings, God finally, it seemed like he relieved me. And so we've been on a march now for, it's been a couple years, you know, going from here to there and just being kicked around. And it really... It's terrible out there. It's terrible. Y'all don't realize what a gem this place is, what God has here. And, you know, it's something to be thankful for. I mean, just to go to a church and be able to sit down. When I was a kid, I could go, you know, a young Christian, I go anywhere, and there's a King James Bible. You know, now we got too many Hebrew. Well, I'm going to get sidetracked. These Hebrew and Greek scholars are killing me. I kind of figured God already had that done, you know. But anyway, let's get to our text. I'll talk my time away. And y'all don't have a clock back there, do you? Oh, you don't turn me loose without a clock. And I think my words quit. Well, let's go to Mark chapter 4. And we'll pick it up in verse 35. But before we read that, I just kind of give you where we're headed here, what's going on. I know I just brought you out of the blue here. But anyway, Jesus has just finished this great discourse. You'll see, like Brother Redmond said, there's a lot of red right before this and on parables. All right. But now he's shifting gears. He's going to do something else, and that's what we're picking up in verse 35. And the Bible says, in the same day, when the evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And I need to read, but I'm just going to say that's one of the dumbest things I ever heard anybody ask Jesus. Carest thou not that we perish? I mean, but anyway. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now, I would like to just comment on this, because this is not really part of the message that I'm going to. But Jesus was asleep on a pillow. And when I read that ain't never left me, because the Lord, He said, foxes have holes and the birds there had nests, but he said, the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And I think about our precious Lord as he traveled in this old body of flesh and, God all robed up and how wearisome. I mean, he pushed it, brother. I mean, you go down to the Garden of Gethsemane and he sweated, as it were, great drops of blood over agony. And that's a clinical condition, you know. I dare to say we'll spend our whole life and never agonize like that. We ought to. We ought to all be sweating great drops of blood every day, I believe. But nevertheless, but he found him a pillow, and, you know, he was fast asleep. And I just think what a blessing that was to get on that cruise and put that head on that pillow, and he wasn't worried about it. Now, I mean, there was a storm there, but Jesus is sleeping away. And but I can't help go back to the command. He said, let us pass over into the other side. So, you know, it's already established where we was going. And just like Abraham, when he took his son, Isaac, and they went out into the wilderness, and he set him up to sacrifice. And, you know, I like the New Testament gives us information, says that, you know, he knew God was, he thought he was going to raise him from the dead. That was what he'd done, predetermined, because the blessing was already promised, he knew, he just trusts God that much. But Jesus said, that, you know, let us pass over another side. So the command was given. It was just missed. You see what I'm saying? All right. Now, I want to break this down just a little bit and just kind of dissect. This is a powerful story, and it'll go right over your head. It'll be just another read, just another page turned in the Bible if you don't slow down and get a hold of it. This same story is in Matthew and Luke, and by chance, I believe it's in both of them in the 8th chapter. I thought that was interesting, but the same story, but it's in chapter 4 in Mark. But nevertheless, I like the Mark's account because it gives so much depth into the story. And so as we break this down just a little bit, I think I want to jump right down and find a few problems we have. Because one thing we've got to identify is the storm itself. I mean, we got to come to some conclusion about the storm. It's, you know, you and I are Christians. As Christians, we know by chance don't exist a whole lot in our lives, you know. You can flip a quarter up, by chance it might land heads or tail, you know. But when you start dealing with weather and people and things, it's very seldom by chance does something just take place. So now we got this storm. And so I want to look at this storm just a little bit. But one thing I want you to think about here, you know, I'm inclined to believe that this storm was brewed up by the devil. Now, you know, you can play it all different ways. But this, I'm going to tell you why I think the devil done it. Now, understand, when I said the devil done it, God let him do it. Right? All right, so you go back to the book of Job. And, you know, Job had all this problem. God said, have you considered my servant Job? So you know the story. But one of the problems Job had was in the wilderness, there brewed a great wind from the devil. He stirred that wind up and he blew it across the land. And there Job suffered great problems over those winds. But then, nevertheless, God preserved Job. But the reason I'm telling you that little part of the story is to tell you that we got wind here. Now, notice what Jesus says here. They said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And Jesus arose up, and sure, Jesus, he cared if they perished. Jesus wasn't going to let nothing happen to them boys. I mean, he had them. He had them under his wing just like a mother hen has her chicks. I mean, same thing with us, just like the brother said this morning, our song leader, and he's a good one too, ain't he? I really like him. But he said, God numbers his hair. And that's right, brother. I've often thought out there working, you know, I pull my hat off and be all sweaty. Of course, mine's getting thinner. Like that too. But I often thought when I pulled my hat off, and might not even see a hair fall off my head, but God changed the count. That's how much he cares. So I know if he cares for us like that, that he cared for these fellas, and he had a job for them. And I always figured by studying the scripture that we were invincible till we finish our job. Anyway, I'm not going to be gotten off this planet till I get God's done with me. And, you know, there we go. But nevertheless, I'm looking at this storm, and Satan, in the book of Job, he calls this great wind. So now, Jesus told, the Bible says, and he arose, and notice what the Bible says. He rebuked the wind. Rebuked it. Now, he didn't just say, quit blowing. It's almost like, you know, I'm inclined to believe he didn't stir it up because he rebuked it. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm just trying to think out loud. If God had stirred that storm up, then Jesus would have known that, right? And but anyway, so the storm brewed up. Now, I do believe that God allowed it because there's a reason. And we'll get to that in just a minute. But Jesus, then he looks at the sea, and I like Luke gives us this right here, and it says, sweetly placed here in red, it says, peace be still. He spoke to the water. He spoke to the water different than he did the wind. And I thought about, you know, the wind, it don't brew itself up. The sea doesn't. The wind does it. So the wind stirred the sea up and caused us to rise up against the boat, you know. So once he rebuked the wind, he calmed the sea. He said, all right, y'all, calm down now. I got rid of the wind. All right. Or you got rid of the devil. However you want to play all that out. But now, let's keep digging in this a little bit. Now we got to figure out, how do you conclude that this story, the storm, is for the apostles? We got to figure out now, it was brewed, it was allowed. Why? You know, I always think a wise man, you know, the Bible says wisdom is justified of her children. A wise man, he might err once, but he's not going to do it again. You know the old story, if you get me once, shame on you. You get me twice, shame on me. That's why you ought to figure out and don't deal with that no more. But here's the thing. All right, now, I'm going to conclude that this story is about the apostles. They got a problem, and Jesus got to fix it. Now, I just want you to think about something for just a minute. And it's saying, I mean, look at us. We're just like them apostles in that boat. We're walking through life. God's got a problem with all of us, and Jesus has got to fix it. He's got to take people that have come out of all our backgrounds, fix us up in such a way that we're usable. It's just like I always said, you know, country man, I always watch my daddy and my grandpa when they went out to the shed and got a funnel and went out there to pour something, you know, gasoline in something or oil. First thing you do is look in that funnel. If you want to, you don't pour something clean through a dirty funnel. So I say, you know, God wants, that's the whole analogy. God wants to pour through us. He needs a clean funnel. All right, so, but here's the thing. The Bible says, let's just jump into 41. Let me just throw out here. The Bible says in verse 41, and they feared exceedingly. Now, notice what the Bible says. Jesus, when he, now, these were seasoned fishermen now. These wasn't no, riding in a pond in the backyard catching minnows out of, putting them in a bucket. These were fishermen. I mean, Peter, his bathing suit, he'd get in it in a minute and he'd go fishing. But here's the thing about it. Now, seasoned fishermen, this must have been some more storm. Seasoned fishermen. The Bible says the boat was now full. Now, I want you to think about something for just a second. All that water in the boat, the rage, and how long did it take? They were in the big ship. Now, notice, this will get right over you real quick. Notice the little ships in there in verse 36. And also, latter part, also with him, other little ships. Now, see, here's the problem. These seasoned fishermen, now they're standing. They have let this storm rage till the boat is plumb full, and now they let Jesus lay back on his pillar and sleep. And I made me a slogan out of this. This is just my personal stuff. Make Jesus your first choice, not your last choice. Okay? Now, see, here's what I'm thinking. If I wake him up as soon as the storm gets rolling, maybe I'll save the boat from being full of water. Now, the Bible says, Jesus said unto them, why are you so fearful? And how is it that you have no faith? Now, I want you to think about that. Have no faith. A lack of faith is going to cost you, brothers and sisters. It costs them. I want to ask you a question. The boat was full of water, right? They wading around in the water, hollering for Jesus by the time it's fixed to go down. All right. Who do you think had to bail the water out of the boat? They didn't have bilge pumps they could just flip on and pump the water out. Don't you know they had a lot of time to think about how silly it was to sit there and almost drown when Jesus was right in the back of the boat? A lack of faith's going to cost you something. So, all right, here's a couple things we got to get cured up. This is the theme of the message. We got two major themes going on here. We got warfare and faith. Those are major, the Christians, that's our major objective. Warfare and faith. All right. So, I want to talk about these little ships for just a second because these are important. The little ships, we can play them out in many various different ways, but one way I want to give you a thought about is, let's say they're not in the boat with Jesus. Okay? For various reasons, and I can't tell you why, all them little boats want to go follow Jesus. But for various reasons, we got little ships, more than one, following the big ship. The big ship's got Jesus in it. And if that storm was so bad for the big ship, how bad was it for the little ships? Now, I want you to think about something. Sometimes when we're walking around and we got them little ships around us and they're all watching us, you know. And when we're going through these storms, I think they're mighty glad when we wake Jesus up, don't you? I mean, if it's that bad in the big ship, how do you think these people are enduring these storms that are connected in our lives? So there's a lot. But I want to tell you something. I want to talk about these battles. You know I've turned a tornado? Sure did. I'm talking about preparing for battle. There was a tornado coming right up the road, ripping its way through the woods, tearing up stuff all the way down through there. And the wind was coming out of the east, and I knew it was close in because we don't, you know, no foul weather comes from the east. And it was ripping up through the west. And all of a sudden, the wind started sucking in. And I said, Lord, you got to turn this thing. And, you know, that tornado turned and went over Motors Road. I live on West Chapel Hill. It turned one over Motors Road. And I don't think Sam Mexicans weren't praying over it because it flipped a few trailers. But, you know, and also, I prayed cancer out of people. Just simply asking God. My wife was diagnosed with stage 3B colon cancer. And it was a long road, but God took it away. It's been many years now. But you see, that's what I'm saying. We've got to prepare for these storms. They're coming. Do you know that I held the hand of my daddy and helped him cross over to glory? And then I held the hand of my mother and helped her cross over to glory? You know what I'm saying? And you see, we got to prepare for this. I may not be much. I always said, I may not be much, but I'm all somebody's guy. I've got to maintain. I've got to know how to fight. I've got to know how to endure. Brother, when they take everything you got and put you in a wheelchair and roll you up to the front door of a nursing home, you better be prepared. You better have some your spiritual faith set and be grounded in the Lord, because that's another battle. Speaking of that, I was in a nursing home one time, and this old lady, she was faithful to church for years, a lot older than me. And I went in there, and I understand she was somewhat broken, you know. She was in bad shape. Her family couldn't help her. She needed this care and that care. And I went in there, and she had tears in her eyes. She looked at me, and she said, pray for me, Brother Willard. And I bowed down beside the bed. And I told her, I said, would you pray for me? I know she's a spiritual giant. Satan's just trying to break her. She's just in that last little storm. You see, she had the power. She had the strength. She had proven herself. She had finished her course. Her race was about finished. But you understand, you see, I needed her prayers. But these fellas, the point I wanted to make is be mindful of these little ships. For various reasons, they're around us. And they're drawn off into whatever we're going through. And if it's bad for you, it's real bad. It's worse for them. So I always let that sink in. Maybe that. But now, the reason I know this storm was for the apostles is because when Jesus stood up and rebuked the wind and the sea, the Bible says they feared exceedingly. Feared exceedingly. And that just blew my mind when I read this story. You know what that tells me? That tells me they didn't know who Jesus was. No, they ain't got a clue. He stood up, and these fellows was about to drown and die in the boat.
And the Bible says when he stood up and rebuked the wind, that they become exceedingly afraid. They was more scared of Jesus than they was the storm. They was more worried about Jesus than they was dying. Exceedingly afraid. Now, that gets me back to this warfare business. See, here's the problem. To preach a big God, we got to know us one. Do you know that most people, brother, they have big problems and little gods? How you doing? Oh, Lord, they'll get you. There you go. 2 hours. How you doing? Laters. You'll know all the hell stories. And listen, get a big God. I understand sometimes we do need to cry on each other. You know what I'm saying? We need to cry on each other's shoulder. That's okay. And I don't mind a bit. But I'm telling you, listen, God is bigger than anything. Nothing's too big for God. I mean, go to Hebrews chapter 11. Walk the hall of faith. The man with the most trouble, the man with the this problem, this the most problems in the whole world, we're looking to God. You know, I mean, God can handle all this stuff. But that told me so. Now, so here's what I'm saying. You see, when God called us, years ago, when the kids would come stay with us, I would always do what I'd call a family altar deal, where you call before you go to bed and everybody winds down at night. I mean, well, I still do every night. We have our family time before God, but and you ought to have family altar. That's just, you ought to. Husband, get your wife, kneel down and pray. And if you got kids, call them in. Give them Bible stories. That's what I done, brother. And, well, I ain't much of an artist, but I sat down and I took me 2 pieces of paper. And what I did is I done read Ephesians chapter 6, take on the whole armor of God, you know. You take the fiery darts of the devil. Boy, them darts, they just not just darts. They don't just stick you. They'll burn. They'll stick in you for a long time. You ever heard that old saying, you're written space in my mind, somebody offend you, and then it just, that's a dart, fiery dart from the devil. You missed that with the shield of faith. For days, you'll go around, oh, I can't believe they done. But that's that fiery dart burning. But anyway, I drew these 2 pictures. I took all them, what Ephesians 6 says. It says, have on the helmet of salvation. So I drew a Roman soldier with a helmet and a shield of faith, drew a big shield and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And I drew this sword and big muscles. It said, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And then I had his loins girt about with the truth and had on the breastplate of righteousness. And on his feet, I shoot him with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So he was a spiritual soldier, you see. And then I drew another picture of this little fella holding dandelions in a long white robe standing out in the field. And I put it up before the kids, and I said, what do you think God wants you to look like? And, well, you know what they done. Oh, they've been told not to be mean, not to do this so much. They picked a little fella in the field with the flowers. I said, no, sir. I stuck it to the side. I said, when you get to heaven, you might wear a white robe, and you might carry you some dandelions. But till then, brother, we need this armor. We're soldiers. God didn't put us down. Listen, we don't wrestle with flesh and blood. We wrestle with principalities and powers and spirits in high places. Somewhere where them storms come from. Weren't for the goodness of God, we'd all be dead. That devil ain't going to spare us. But I want to talk about a great soldier for just a minute. Now, we all know about Jesus, but I want to take somebody that in the Bible who's a great Bible character here in our New Testament. The Apostle Paul, everybody knows the story of him. But you know, the Apostle Paul was walking down, he was going down the road to Damascus, had his letters. Well, if you want to know what he was doing, ask Ananias. He told God all about the situation. And ain't it strange that God took that fella and made him go over to Paul and lift the scale to show him nothing's impossible. Take a murdering, sorry, no good for nothing rascal and turn him plumb around and make a saint out of him. Ain't that something? But now, anyway, God told Ananias, he said, this is a chosen vessel to me, and you know what I'm gonna show him. Now think about this for just a minute. God said, I'm gonna show him what great things he must suffer for me in my namesake. I'm gonna show him. And he said he'll go before kings and all these great things, you know. Well, you remember, here come Agabus. Got Paul's girdle and he tied himself up with it. Bonds and affliction await you, Paul. go on to Jerusalem, bonds and affliction. Everybody started telling Paul, don't go, Paul, don't go, Paul. And basically, Paul concludes on over in the Bible. He says, none of these things move me. Now, let me tell you something. Paul said, I'm not only willing to suffer, but to die for the Lord Jesus. Brother, you made a great statement this morning when he was preaching. Brother Redman did. He said that if he had Jesus, everybody else is byproducts of the Lord, right? That's what Paul was telling him. Don't move me. You know what Jesus told Peter? He said, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou servest not the things that be of God, but of the flesh, of the world. And you remember Joshua, when he was going up to Jericho, he met the angel of the Lord in the way with his sword drawn. Powerful little, real simple little story. Sword drawn. One angel could have probably, if unchecked, could destroy the whole world in a short time. Because more than likely that was Jesus. But nevertheless, here's the thing. Joshua says, are you for us or our adversaries? And the angel answered and said, nay. Think about it, nay. Joshua understood exactly what he meant, and he bowed himself to the ground. You see, God ain't for me. He's not my adversaries. He's for God. And if you want God, you got to get for God. Don't worry about yourself. And see, that's get back to my soldier story here. Here's Paul. The Bible says, Paul said, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now, that'd take us a long time to go through the life of Paul. But the only thing I want to show you is he said, I count all that I have as dung that I may win him. Everything, Paul was sold out to Jesus. A great soldier. With great soldiers comes great faith. Now, you see, what Jesus had was a short time to work these guys in shape. Because he fixed to have to go to the cross, be crucified, go to heaven, send back the Holy Ghost. He was successful, though, wasn't he? Jesus knows how to do it. He took some unfit soldiers, whooped them, and put them through boot camp. Got them fit. You know, that's the thing about being a soldier. You don't just pop up and go to war. They put you through boot camp. You know, Paul, before he went on and started his great ministry, you know what he did? He retreated for 3 years. He settled the business with God. He sat down with the scriptures, and once it was settled, he dusted off, got up, and started his journey. Went to work. So, as we think about this story, so we need soldiers, and we need faith. You know, over the years, I've strained and I've strained my spiritual eyes to try to see what God's doing. Where am I going? Why am I here? Why am I there? What am I going to do? But you know, with the same faith that I received Christ in my life is the same faith that I walk with from day to day. And God, let me just make this statement. God has done more through my ignorance than he ever has done through any wisdom I ever had. I mean, a lot more. I marvel at the things that God's done around me. But here's the story. We're going to conclude it right here. Great story in the Bible. But these storms are going to come and they're going to go. But we just need to prepare. Take God at what he said. It's real simple. Jesus said, go to the other side. Guess where we're going? We're going to the other side. Well, the storm's pretty rough. Water's a little deep. Well, let's wake him up. Make him your first choice. Don't sit there and bail and do all fisherman stuff before you get God out. I'll tell you this, and I'll quit. When I was a young Christian, and I crushed my arm. I've had 15 operations on my right arm. But anyway, I crushed my right arm, and I couldn't even use it. I had it done, had several surgeries. By this time, I had it in a sling. And I had an old, it must have been a 60-something Chevy pickup truck. Anyway, had the old three on the tree, and the transmission went out. So I went down to the junkyard. I'd made it to the junkyard, but it was giving a lot of trouble. And I thought, well, I can buy one at the junkyard for cheap. So anyway, it might not have been the best idea in the world, but I thought, well, I'll put it in right here in the junkyard. So I
got up on a truck one-handed and got everything. It wasn't hard to get it out. Pulled it out and just yanked back and let it hit the ground, drug it out. Got my other and drug it up under there. And, you know, the old three speeds wasn't that heavy, but they get cumbersome after a little while holding it up. I wrestled that crazy thing. I'd knock my throw out bearing up in there, and I'd have to bring it back down. And I'd reach up there and get all that line back up, and then I'd grab it. To start with, I was doing pretty good. I had my knee cranked up in there, and I wrestled that thing, and I wrestled and wrestled. And I could have spit nails. I ain't lying. But, you know, I did something real elementary, so simple. I stopped in all my internal anger. Now, I wasn't cussing, throwing fits, and kicking and all that. I just had it going on inside. And I laid there in that dirt after wrestling that crazy transmission, and I made this simple prayer. Lord, help me. I grabbed that transmission, picked up, and it fell in place. You know what the next thing I said? You're an idiot. When I read that story, it reminded me of that, you know. Make him your first choice. Well, we'll stop there, brother. Probably much could be said and should be said, but I appreciate the opportunity, and I pray that the Lord will use his simple illustrations throughout the Scripture. And a good thing I like about Jesus is he's simple. He made things where we could understand. If it's too complicated for you, stop. You're traveling the wrong way. Calm down, back up, and just look at the silly stuff. Go to the power of the Gospels, the light of the world, city set on a hill. God, he didn't light us to put us under a bushel, but put us on a candlestick that all may see. He wants us to be spectacles unto the world. I mean, it's simple. That's how simple. God just wants us to take his Bible, study it, and walk in that simplicity. But God needs some soldiers, brother. And the more we train and the more we exercise this faith, the better we'll be. God bless you, brother.